Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast on this wonderful 8th of November. Glad you've joined me for our journeys through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in the 12th chapter. Verse number 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, or the Greek word anathema. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This is one of those interesting moments where we're not entirely sure why Paul says what he says. These are, to us, relatively obvious statements. I mean, who's going to say Jesus is cursed? Who's going to attribute such a statement to the Holy Spirit? And then that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It seems, you know, rather obvious. I mean, I think someone could make the phrase Jesus is Lord come out of their mouth, but I think Paul's talking about in the context of believing it and how much you believe about it. But there's some things that we should consider, and archaeology has actually helped us with maybe understanding a little bit better about what Paul is talking about. First of all, the pagans, the Gentiles that are in Corinth who've been worshiping strange gods, they believe that the gods they're worshiping are capable of influencing their objective against other people. They believed that you could consult the gods in athletic competitions and business and political campaigns and matters of the heart. They believed that the gods would respond to their prayers about who wins a wrestling match or making someone love you or a business deal going your way. In some ways, people still pray that way. I mean, watch a game on television and you'll see people praying that their pitcher gets a strikeout or their quarterback throws a touchdown or whatever. I don't know if we really mean it, but they did. They meant it. And that was a part of pagan worship. And part of it, part of that worship ceremony among the pagans was the use of curses. Sometimes, and this is what I meant about archaeology has helped us with this, archaeologists have unearthed some of this stuff. Sometimes these curses were actually written out on lead and would be deposited in the temple. They would even be deposited in the wells of water that were near the temple, and they would be sworn in the name of the god of the temple. A curse tablet was found in the temple of Demeter in Corinth. This is in a Corinthian pagan temple, and that curse tablet read, "Hermes of the underworld grant heavy curses." So the thought process, because of what we found in the pagan temples, is that, and let me stop there for a second and just clear something up from the Greek. The phrase Jesus be cursed or Jesus anathema can actually be translated Jesus is a curse or Jesus grant a church, or a curse in a church, because the two words are literally anathema Jesus. So it could be Jesus is cursed, Jesus is a curse, Jesus grant a curse. Here's a good question. And this is worth wrestling because this is a thought that we should consider. Were the Corinthian Christians using the name of Jesus as a curse against their opponents in the way they had learned to do under pagan worship? Because remember, when they were in pagan worship, that was a common part of their worship. And it could be that Paul is saying, listen, you have the Holy Spirit. And no one who has the Holy Spirit is going to use the name of Jesus to curse other people in order to disadvantage them. Aside from the fact that Jesus doesn't put on the curse, Paul's statement doesn't even have to include that. His statement is, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you into this foolishness. The Holy Spirit's not going to be the one who tells you to do that. Is it possible that this is what Paul's saying? I don't think it's just possible. I think it's probable based upon what we have unearthed in Corinth. And by we, I don't, of course, mean myself. But and only those led by the Holy Spirit then are going to fulfill the last part of that verse. So you see that in context, you realize that maybe what Paul's talking about is, hey, stop praying and trying to use the name of Jesus in the way that you would have when you were a pagan. and realize that to affirm Jesus as Lord is an act of the Holy Spirit, and it's the only thing that the Holy Spirit will do, because Christians are meant to be using their gifts for blessing. They're meant to be helping others. That's verse 7, by the way. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's Paul's way of saying the Holy Spirit's not in you to defeat your enemies. The Holy Spirit is in you to profit all. One of the things that sometimes gets overlooked about the role of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus says of the Holy Spirit in John 16. He says that when the Holy Spirit has come, and he calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, that the Holy Spirit will take you into all truth. He will lead and guide you into all truth, and he will not glory in himself, but will glory only in Jesus. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but basically what Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit is he doesn't come doing his own thing. He comes glorifying the work of Jesus. That needs to be remembered in your day-to-day walk, because you want to know what the Holy Spirit is up to when you pray. It's to shine the spotlight on who Jesus is and the glory of who Jesus is. So the question maybe no one's asking, but and I'm not sure we need to ask it, but I'll ask it, is what is the end result of all the praying over, Lord, make this happen to him, or make this work my way, whatever. The Holy Spirit is not, well, he's not a slot machine. You go put something in, pull the handle, and then, you know, hope for the best. But we don't pray against people. We bless them. We don't curse them. We don't pray against their prosperity. We don't pray that they fail. Paul, I think, is likening that to what would be saying Jesus anathema. One more little thing I want to say before I close out today. Paul does preach to the Galatians that Jesus became a curse, but Paul never preaches Jesus as a curse, that you can use the power of Christ as a curse. When he says Jesus became a curse, he means, and he makes it rather clear in that text in Galatians, that the law cursed you when you tried to live it, so Jesus became the curse at Calvary to free you from that curse. That's as close as you get to putting Jesus and curse in the same conversation or the same sentence. And I think that's what Paul is dealing with in that third verse. Diversities of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. Diversities are allotments. There are different gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. There are different ministries, but it's the same Lord. Different activities, but it's the same God who works all in all, or all things in all. And that manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to one to profit everyone. We'll pick it up in that spot tomorrow as we continue 1 Corinthians 12. See you then. Have a great day. God bless.